For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. Welcome, I am Tim Fuel, joined this week by two stalwarts of the show, together in the same bit of interweb for the very first time in many weeks. First up, the man now realising why ager is added to the word man to create manager. Currently manager at Chertsey Town FC, it's Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, how are you?
You can tell I've been away for a week watching Countdown, can't you? and completing the team, the man that puts the red into FC United in more ways than one. It's FC United of Manchester Radio's very own Swampy. Good evening, Swampy.
I'll have a consonant, please, Carol. Good evening. Good evening, guys.
Yeah, I thought you said you were incontinent, Swampy.
No, not quite as old as you yet, Dave.
No, that's true.
So, it's good to have you back. Dave, let's start with you. We've not spoken since you took that place back in the dugout for a game. How's it been with the curfews?
Yeah, it's been good fun, to be honest. It started a bit slow, sort of had the same, I think I signed something like 25 players in 10 days before the deadline. I think that was the last time I spoke to you was the week before we played our first game. We get stuffed and by a very good Hounslow side, CB Hounslow, on a really nice new ground, Tim. I think it's sort of part funded by the FA and sort of it's used by the community, and it's just a really nice little ground. Played some great football, and to be fair, far too good for us. Second game, went from that to a local derby on the bank holiday Monday, which, you know, they're like, you know, they're fast and furious. And to be fair, we did really well in it. Looked a bit edgy in the first half, and probably Albion Rangers with a better side in the first half. But we came back second half. The game finished 1-1. We were we'd gone 1-0 down, but I thought we finished the game stronger. I thought we were unfortunate not to win it in the end. And then Saturday we played a massive, as they call it, six-pointer against Godalming, and won 1-0. And I feel the game, we deserve to win the game. And they hit the post at 0-0, it would have to be said. But I think second half, we'd a couple of goal-mouth scrambles that that made me realise why I give it up. You know, it was like, it was like unbelievable how we haven't scored on a couple of words. You know, the keeper's made a save, it's come back. We've, one of our lads has hit it, it's hit the defender on the line, come back. Another guy's hit it, has hit the inside of the post. It was like, honestly, it was on match of the day. You'd have talked about it for weeks. So we won 1-0, which was everything. And then last night we were due to play Westfield, but the game was called off, which I wasn't too unhappy about, simply because they needed a point to win the league, and I'd rather they get that point somewhere else. And hopefully by the time we play them, they're on the beach somewhere, you know. And so that's it in a nutshell.
And you're clear of that those relegation spots at the moment, and you said a big 6 point there. So are you feeling that it has the blood pressure? How's that gone?
I have to tell you that the last 6 minutes injury time against Godalmin were as twitchy as anything I've had in my career. You're what you are, and but I thought the lads did really well, and for a team that's been chucked together, I'm going to say chucked together, I mean chucked together, they've shown a great togetherness, a great spirit, you know, and I like the attitude to the level. Money's not important to the players at the level, you know. They get expenses and they're not bothered whether they get it or not, and I'm sort of giving someone sort of 20 quid expenses and he's not bothered, and at other times in my career I've paid people £300 a week, and if you give them £299, they're banging your door down, you know, for the last pound. So there is a difference to that. I do feel that we need another win, maybe possibly two wins, just to be comfortable, but it's been good, mate. It's been good.
It's keeping you out of the house on a Saturday. And Swampy, I was hoping that you were going to be over all those winter ailments, and then you come on and you sound like you're talking through your nose.
Yeah, well, I am, unfortunately. Yeah, it's only just come on. I think you just jinxed it, to be honest. I've been fine for the last 2 or 3 weeks, no problems at all, and here I am. But no, it's good to hear, though, that Dave back enjoying the game and a standard of football where players are playing for pride and passion over money. But it's been an interesting week for FC. We had our first, believe it or not, we last won away from home August of last year, and it took until last week to win our second game away from home, which has probably which has secured our survival for a season, and looking like we're going to finish in the mid 50 points this season, because it's quite interesting when you're looking at having to finish over 50 points in order to stay in the division. But that's how tight it is this year. But we've got a couple of big games coming up. We've got Darlington at the weekend, another fan-owned football club, and then on Tuesday we've got York City, who are obviously, they've got a 25% stake within the football club. And a cup final to boot as well. So four more games, and hopefully we can enjoy the rest of the season.
Four more games and another few packets of tissues as well to get through those sorts.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that this is the end of it. I was hoping with them that 24 hours of sun that we had 2 days ago, we might have been a summer cold have got, but evidently not, because we're back into the winter gloom again.
Well, this weekend we're going to be warmer than Lisbon, apparently. I'm not sure how warm Lisbon's due to be, but...
Is that Lisbon and Belfast or Lisbon?
Yeah, but possibly the latter. Okay, so let's have a quick run over some of the news of the week. Hartlepool's ownership issues appear to have finally been concluded. Contracts have been exchanged on Raj Singh's proposed takeover of the club. The club announced this week that the Teesside businessman has finally finalised negotiations with previous owner John Blackledge of Sage Investments, and will be installed as the new owner and chairman of Hartlepool United. Talks between the two parties have been ongoing for a number of weeks. Contracts finally exchanged last Friday evening, and the deal is now subject to the Football Association and National League approval. As part of the reorganisation, former Pools boss Craig Hicknett will return to Victoria Park in a new role as Director of Football. And chaps, it's a great news for the club, but I think the bigger news is that despite everything that's been going on in the background, caretaker boss Matthew Bates has been named as the Vanarama National League Manager of the Month for March. Three back-to-back wins and 11 points from a possible 18 during the month put some breathing space between themselves and the bottom four, having won only once in the previous 17 games. That's not a bad CV, is it?
No, listen, it's excellent. First of all, the news of the takeover is everything that we'd all hope for. It's a big football club and we'd big fear for it only a couple of weeks ago, Tim. So that's the main thing, is that the supporters get to keep their football club. As for the manager, he'll probably say, well, it is what it is. We can only affect what we can affect on the pitch. And, you know, at different clubs have had different times when things have been on outside of the dressing room. Players get on with it on the whole, you know. So he's done a great job under the circumstances. But I would say that most of the lads just get on with playing their football.
Yeah, I suppose when you've lost 17 on the bounce primary, or you haven't won in 17, to get any form of victory is such a relief. And, I think players themselves all now have that little bit of that confidence in them. They can go out and enjoy it. And it's funny how football, certain things in football can make you make you be able to play a little bit more with confidence. You look at the likes of North Ferriby United, who have been relegated from the National League North. And I know me and Dave were watching them a few seasons ago winning the FA Trophy at Wembley.
One of the greatest games, Swampy, wasn't it? It was like biggest upsets.
Absolutely wonderful, yeah. And the thing is, since they've been relegated, they've actually won more games than they have all season. I think they've been the top teams, as well as middle, mid-table teams. So, that anything that can actually maybe influence, because players themselves will be looking from a Hartlepool perspective, I think they'll be thinking about their livelihoods and about wages and is who's going to buy the club. And now that stability comes in, having Craig Hignett, as you said there, you know, that's going to be a big plus for the football club. And they can move forward and they can finish off the season with a sigh of relief, and then they can enjoy the football opposed to be looking over the shoulder, as many clubs have to do when they're going through this financial difficulties, but also not getting the results that they need.
Yeah, and just, yeah, we've followed that Hartlepool story for a number of months, and via various journalists up in the northeast. And just when the journalists in the northeast thought that they might have a bit of time off, you know, maybe something they might be able to write about some football. Now, Gateshead has been put up for sale. Joint owners Richard and Julie Bennett have announced that they are to pull out of the club after 3 years at the helm and having ploughed in around £3 million during their time in charge. We are leaving the club debt-free and in a healthy position, the Bennetts have said. But maybe a strange time to announce that sort of departure this time of the season?
Well, I think probably, you know, if the club's safe and, you know, the books are all good and there's no debt, why not start the ball rolling now and try and bring in some inward investments, some new blood to North East football. Gateshead are, a famous football club, a tremendous club. And, you know, they'll be looking to get the right people in. And I think the sooner you do it, you know, we talked, didn't we, earlier the season, was it Truro?
Truro, yeah.
They were debt-free, and they were debt-free, weren't they? And they announced that, you know, their five-year plan was coming to an end. And I think that's the best thing to do sometimes. So supporters aren't wondering what's going on over the summer months. And, you know, we've seen York City in the last couple of weeks, they had that meeting, and the 25% is owned by the Supporters Trust, have said no to the proposal. The club's now up for sale. Supporters don't know what's happening. At least here, you've got a debt-free club, and you've also got the opportunity to bring good people in. And, they've done a good job there in difficult circumstances, yeah, to a degree, because they play at the international athletic stadium, and we know they had to, I think last season or the season before, they had to spend a lot of time, didn't they, playing away from there because of the pitch was so poor. I'd like to see Gateshead get a new ground personally and have their own real home base.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the struggle, isn't it, when you're looking to get an investor involved in a football club. If they've not got their own ground at the moment, you know, that's a major asset that an investor probably likes to see.
Yeah, and maybe with, let's say, I mean, you know, if one of them, you've got the likes up there, you've got a couple of giants in football, haven't you? You've got the likes of Sunderland and you've got the likes of Newcastle. Newcastle slightly, well, they're both actually equidistant to Gateshead, really. Gateshead's just a stone's throw from Newcastle, so I suppose it's a little bit nearer. But Newcastle themselves as a football club are obviously, they're looking at new investment, and maybe Ashley's going to go or not going to go. Whoever comes in, wouldn't it be really nice to actually have a link up and partnership with maybe some of your non-league clubs and financially help them out and maybe, you know, come to an arrangement where you can maybe utilise another ground somewhere, and then Newcastle Academy could maybe use it as well as Gateshead could use it, or Sunderland could do something like that for them. There's possibilities, and when clubs are in need of facilities, I think the big money in Premier League football can certainly and should help and make sure that the grassroots level and our level of football and the top level of non-league football should certainly have the facilities and quality.
Yeah, dream on, Swampy.
another recommendation from Swampy. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Still in the National League, after my discussion last week with David Richardson of the Non-League paper and news of Marcus Bignot's pending departure, Chester have become relegated and then immediately bounced back with a win, like you were saying, Swampy, earlier with other clubs. Then just before we came on air, there was news that the club have been approached by a wealthy entrepreneur over potential substantial investment. Now, the Blues board are to consult with City Fans United members, but they insist that the approach will not dilute the fan-owned model. There's plenty going on at Chester.
Definitely. I mean, the one thing to bear in mind is, I mean, if you can get an investor that is happy to take one share in a football club and maybe help the football club, but not want anything more than the supporters themselves, like in the FC model of, you know, one person, one vote, that's absolutely wonderful. Now, we know already this season that someone came in and paid the wages, didn't they, of the players, for the last month and a half to give them some stability. They've been relegated. Marcus, it's not worked out for him. You know, he's had a good time at other clubs previous, but I think this was a step too far for him at this moment in time because Chester were on a downward spiral. But what's interesting is Chester have been relegated and they're actually above Guiseley. And Guiseley are bottom of the division, but because they've actually played less games, they're actually still not being relegated. And it's very seldom you see a team that are actually three positions in the division above a team who have already been relegated.
Yeah, that's a fair point. To be fair.
It's going to be one of those shows of firsts, this one, isn't it? We give them stick most weeks, but we must mention the heroic work of assistant referee Zaria Mustafa at the Northern Premier North Colwyn Bay against Trafford match at the weekend. Trafford forward Danny Frost collided headfirst with the pitch perimeter wall, suffering a serious head injury, and it's reported that only the swift thinking and action by the Lino saved Frost's life. An act, the official said, was what anyone else would have done. Possibly, but well done on doing it. And you know,
all day long. I would say, Tim, you know, I would say that, you know, when you go back into management, as I've done, you feel a little bit rusty with most things. But abusing referees and linesmen, it came quite natural to me again. but I on this occasion, absolutely well done. You know, you know, we joke and we're, you know, our humour's quite sort of hard at times. But it's to save someone's life is there anything better in life to do than save someone else's life? So, yeah, well done. I doffed my cap to you, Mr. Mustafa.
Danny Frost has been a player that's played at several different levels, and I've seen him on many occasions. And I mean, it was an air ambulance as well that had to, you know, fly in at Colwyn Bay. But it just goes again. I mean, I've been at Colwyn Bay on many occasions, and to think they were National League North, you know, they were going places as a football club. But there's so many football clubs still that have brick walls around the ground. You know, only about a yard and a half off the pitch itself. It's, you know, we talk about, you know, government looking at reports and, you know, into safe standing. I know that's just been poo-pooed again by this government. But, you know, they're allowing clubs to have facilities which, you know, they may or may not be able to afford to actually get 100% corrected. Money has to be invested in football stadia in the UK to protect players, because I've seen players, and I know, Dave, you've seen players on many occasions, you know, with them perimeter. I mean, you got the perimeter wall, and then you have the grounds where you have the old white bar, don't you, going all the way around the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and you lean on it. You get garrotted off one of those things. You know, we've got to get up to a standard of our pitches that are akin to Europe, and then these situations won't be happening to players. You know, so the money has to come in and has to be invested again. But as you say, great that the assistant referee did his what he was saying. He was just, you know, what anyone else would do. And we wish Danny all the very, very best, because it could be a career-ending injury. Luckily, he's alive still, but we wish him all the very, very best.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Shall we get our first guest on? Now, in recent weeks, we've spoken much about doom and gloom, particularly at this stage of the season. So it's time to open up with a very happy story. What about a club who are atop their league at step five, looking destined for promotion, but also heading potentially for the record books? Street FC currently head the Western League Premier Division by 15 points, aiming for promotion to the Southern League Southwest Division. And they are doing it in style, having this week secured their 23rd win on the trot in the league. To tell us more about his Invincibles is Street manager Richard Fay. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening, all.
Now, 23 on the bounce. Does it get easier every game or more nerve-wracking?
No, to be honest, it's getting harder. We took a heavy defeat in the FA Vaz to Willem Rovers back in, I think it was September, October, in the last year. And we lost 7-1 when it was a Storm Brian across the UK. And since then, we haven't looked back. And it's just been, I don't even know how to explain it. It's 23 league wins on the banks. With the three league League Cup games, it's 26 wins on the banks. And I'm going greyer as the day goes on.
You did mention there the start of the season. You've lost twice and drawn twice this season. That's a bit careless of you, wouldn't it?
Well, last year we finished with 92 points and we lost four league games and drew two. And unfortunately finished runners-up to Bristol Manor Farm, who rightly deserved a finish with 104 points. Now, they only promoted one team into the Southern League, which we missed out on. So this year we managed to keep everyone together, and people always say the second year is the hardest, and it is, but we've just gone to a different level, and it just seems to lose six games in 2 years. Bearing in mind when we took over the club, they were always around the mid-table team in the Western Division, and we just seem to have got the right set of lads have come in and managed to get this run going, and at the moment we just don't know when we're beat.
Dave Anderson, I think you've got a question.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. I mean, the first one really is, how many more points do you think, Richard, before you become champions? What's the gap between you and the team in second place?
The team second is 15 points, and we're on the same games. But mathematically, we need another 9. We've got a game tomorrow night away at Clevedon Town, and then we're home to Cribbs on Saturday, and then we're home to Bitton on Monday. So you're hoping to keep the run going and try and finish it off on Tuesday. But if I'm being honest, I think it would be tough for any of these teams now. We're on 83 points. I think it would be tough for any of them to finish on 83, just for the simple reason a lot of teams are playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays. And as you know, it's hard for anyone in part-time football.
No, it is. I mean, I have a couple of points that, you know, we've sort of checked domestically, and we think that Celtic stand in your way of breaking the British record. Now, I'd be delighted, because I'm a Rangers man, I'd be delighted if you break that one. But I would hasten to add that shortly after breaking Celtic's record, I'd like you to get beat, because I don't want you to break my record, which is unbeaten games. I'm sort of swaying both ways at the minute. But, you know, in all seriousness, it's an unbelievable achievement. And I'd imagine you're going to try and keep that group together for the next level. How difficult would that be with the group of players you have?
Well, with the area where we are, obviously you can tell by the accent down in lovely Somerset, and I live in Bristol myself, but the catchment area around, we've only got your likes of Tiverton and Taunton that are around us. You could say Salisbury is only half an hour, 45 minutes away. So the good thing is the team, as you can imagine, when you're winning, the team spirit's unbelievable. They all get on, they're all mates. And I think, having spoke to a few of them, and just for a prime example, last night after the game, they've all signed up to go on tour. There's 19 of them going on tour and away on and having a lemonade at the end of the season, rightly deserved. But they're all talking about next year already, which you've got to, you know how hard it is. You've got to try and keep their feet on the ground, and let's try and get over the line first and then worry about next season. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we can keep everyone together, and it'd be great to take them into that next level and hopefully add one or two and try and, you know, finish in trying to stabilise in that division somewhere where the club's never been.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just thinking in that regard, to be honest, as well, because for a club that's never been at the next level, what are the expectations going forward then, or is there not a great deal of pressure on the actual club itself and you as individuals? Are you just looking forward to enjoying the ride, or have you now got your sights set on perhaps taking the club further and further and further?
Yeah, well, when we took over 2 years ago, the main aim was to try, 3-year plan, to try and get out of the division, and we should have done it the first year. Obviously, this year we should. Well, I think even if we didn't go up as top, we'd go up as second. But you do try and play it down. But having the meetings, monthly meetings, you know, with the chairman, as we all do as managers, and the chairman wants to stabilise in that division, but I'm ambitious. I want to manage higher. I have done before and really enjoyed it, but it is a lot of hard work, and I want to try and get in those playoffs and, you know, and try and push on and get and take the club up is into the next level. But you have got to be realistic. There's some massive clubs in that division, and we'll be going into it, you know, with let's get to the 40 points and stay up and then try and push on. But some of these lads have already played at the level. I think there's 5 lads who've played at higher. The rest have all been from local football or come through the youth scheme. And we just seem to, they've got that right mentality and right attitude that want to go and have a go at that division against some big boys.
Yeah, and I suppose really the fact that you're doing so well and you've been so successful, about not quite doing it last season, your academy side and the youth, the younger players from the local area, I suppose, they want to come and play for you so you can build up a decent academy there as the club moves along.
Honestly, the last 2 weeks, the recognition and the just the awareness really of the whole town's buzzing, and even the under-18s, just Saturday, the under-18 teams come in to watch the first team play, which we try and encourage anyway, but you know what it's like nowadays, they've got better things to do, but we do try and encourage it, and now it seems like they want to come and get involved. I've already promised a couple of lads, if we do get over that line, hopefully next week, we still have 5 games to go, and I will try and put a couple of young lads in the squad, but obviously if this run's going on and the amount of publicity we're getting at the moment, you'll be fighting a death to chuck a young lad in and change it all and then end up losing the run. So you're in catch 22 really. So we just need to keep trying to do the right things. The average age we've got is 23, and we have got a couple of 18-year-olds in the squad, and for them to achieve this, I don't think they realise making history like this is going to stay with them the rest of their lives. And I don't think in our lifetime again we'll ever see this or be involved in a run this, you know, unbeaten in especially in the League Cup, 26 wins on the bounce.
Well, all I can say is good luck. And I know David's got a record to be proud of, but someone needs to beat it, and it might as well be you.
To be fair, Richard, I think what you should do is absolutely smash the Celtic record and then chuck the kids in.
Well, to be honest, it's funny because, obviously, I'm just making aware of the non-league show and other local press companies and media and radio stations. And we even had an email from a Celtic fan. A contact from a Celtic season ticket holder via Twitter yesterday saying, please don't break our record. And you think, bloody hell, someone's up in Scotland have even knows about our record. So that shows and proves how far it's gone across the country. And I'd love to beat it, and the next step after that is Benfica on 29.
So it is. Yeah, European one.
Now, Richard, I did have a look, and I see that you, despite all this form, you didn't seem to win the Western League Team of the Month award in January, February, or December. Have you?
Please don't go there.
Are you superstitious? Have you told them that you just don't want it, and that they're choosing someone else?
This is one of my points. We said to the boys last night before the game, not only that we do a safe hands award, obviously the amount of clean sheets or the goals you concede. And the 3 goals we've conceded, I think in the last 11 or 12, have been deflections or a lucky own goal. And otherwise, we would have kept 11 clean sheets on the bounce. And for our goalkeeper to only win it 3 times this season, I think we've only conceded 21. And for the whole club all season has only won the Team of the Month twice. I don't know what else you've got to do to win it.
it's interesting you mentioned the goalkeepers. I think you're a goalkeeper yourself, weren't you? Dave Anderson was obviously the greatest goalkeeper amongst us all. But do you think goalkeepers make better managers because you're always concentrating on defence and attack rather than other players when you're playing?
Well, I had to pack in early due to an injury, and I've always wanted to get into management. And I've been a big believer on thriving on clean sheets. I used to when I was playing in goal, and I have as a manager. And this year we've kept 20. It's hit me in the pocket quite hard. Every time we do it, I always chuck a few quid in the kitty. But to be honest, there's nothing better on a Saturday night when you know you've kept a clean sheet because you've always got half a chance of scoring a goal or winning a game. So I look back and I do look at some of the managers that have been goalkeepers and gone on and done well, and I just hopefully sticking to what I'm trying to get into the lads and what they're buying into, we can take it into that next level and hopefully keep thriving on these clean sheets and try and win some more games.
Yeah, I think to be fair, Tim, you know, the question are goalkeepers better managers? I think they're good communicators, most goalkeepers, because they have to be, because that's a big part of your job at the level is organising people in front of you. So that takes you sort of on the first little step of communicating with people about football. And then obviously when you go into the management side of it, I found it I found it quite natural, but not everybody's mouth is as big as mine, so it's I wish you well, Richard. I really mean that. I even if you were to go on and break the record that I helped set, that's what life's all about. But my biggest fear now is that I suppose if you go up now, then I have no chance of meeting you next year in the FFRs. That's another concern of mine.
Yeah, that's right. Well, to be honest, that was what this year was one of the competitions with the team we beat last Saturday, Melksham Town, who were currently, I think, third in our division. They got to the quarterfinals and lost 1-0 to Fatcham. And with the setup they got, they were one of the favourites to go on and win it this year. And for us to be, and this was one of the incentives last night before the game, to win this game against Wells last night, we go 20 points clear of Melksham. It's unbelievable, really, because I don't know if you know, David, the setup in this, the infrastructure they've got within their club up to ours. And you always look at them and think they're the big boys of the league, and they are, rightly so, with the setup they got. But it's a competition I've always wanted to do well in. A couple of years ago, manager of Bitland, we got to the quarterfinals and lost to the finalist Colville and West Auckland in 2 years on the trot. And when you look back at it, you were nearly that close of getting there.
Yeah.
But it's a great competition, and unfortunately we'll be going into the FA Trophy. Obviously, we've got to get promoted first.
Well, hopefully you will get that promotion, Richard, and it's been fantastic talking to you. We hope we're not going to be the curse on your 24th win, and I'll look out for it at the weekend.
Good luck.
Or before this one goes away, if the weather's coming to you. So thanks for your time, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Brilliant, lads. All the best. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Excellent.
Cheers.
Tim, can I just bring up a quick point? Did Dave said as a goalkeeper that you're good communicators?
Yes, I
heard that, didn't I? Because my experience is every time I've been communicated to by a goalkeeper, it's been a load of abuse down the ear, push to either go the front post or the back post, and screaming at you.
That's exactly what I mean. I've made a living out of that.
I know, I've seen you.
No one said it was two-way communication.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, right. Sorry, yeah. That's fair enough. I just wanted to make sure you do communicate. Certainly, they do communicate your goalkeepers, but in a certain way.
And you always mistake me with a goalkeeper, Swampy. I'm an international goalkeeper. It's a bit of a difference, you know.
Well, yeah.
I'm only joking. I'll get slaughtered for that, won't it? But, I'm joking.
Right, chaps. While we're staying on the happy notes, let's chat to a player. A 19-year-old defender who made his first senior appearance for his home club, Ipswich Town, at the start of the season in the League Cup against Luton Town, and then was put out on loan at Christmas to the National League with Bromley, and has been winning plaudits ever since. And whilst his parent club head for mid-table obscurity without a manager in the Championship, he has helped Bromley to an outside chance of the National League playoffs and a place in the FA Trophy final. Not a bad season then, Luke Wolfenden. Good evening to you.
How you doing, yeah?
Not being too bad a season. I guess the first question I've got to ask is, can you play in that FA Trophy final at Wembley?
Yeah, my loan's been extended to after the final.
In terms of ticking all those boxes, that's not too bad then, is it?
It's not too bad at all, mate. 19-year-old playing at Wembley.
And how's your week pan out? Do you still sort of train with the guys at Ipswich? Are you giving them plenty of banter that you're actually going to Wembley this season?
To be fair, when I first went alone, I was doing Monday, Tuesdays at Ipswich, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Bromley, but now there's pretty much games every Tuesday, Saturday, so I'm just at Bromley every day really now.
Well, that's it. You know, I mentioned the playoffs, 9 points adrift now, although you've got those two matches in hand. There's very little left of this season, but is it too little, too much to do now before the end of the season to make those playoffs, do you think?
The recent results have probably left us a bit too much to do, but we'll still keep going every game, trying to win. Depends what happens. If we win our two games in hand, then we're right on the sails, isn't we? So have to see what happens, I guess.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, potentially, you know, back-to-back weekends at Wembley, that could be a very interesting. We just had a record breaker on the phone with their 23 wins on the bounce down at Street FC. You know, I'm not sure if too many people have played back-to-back games at Wembley as a non-league player. What's it been like as a 19-year-old coming into a very close-knit group under a manager like Neil Smith at Bromley?
To be fair, it's been good. I've really enjoyed my time there. The lads have been good with me, and Neil Smith and Mark Hammond and Alan Dunn have really helped me progress. Well, I think in my career I've come along a lot better as a player and as a defender.
Swampy, I think you got a question.
Yeah. Good evening, Luke. First and foremost, congratulations at being and going to Wembley with Bromley and a superb season that they've had, and I'm sure you've been very instrumental in that. The future, that's the question I've got, sir. What does it hold for you? Do you have a plan? Do you know whether you're going back to Ipswich at the end of the season and doing pre-season with Ipswich, or is that still far, far away? You're just concentrating perhaps at Wembley and trying to get into the playoffs with Bromley this season?
Cheers for the congratulations. I think my future is at Ipswich. But really now I'm thinking about every game as it comes to make sure that I am definitely in the starting 11 for the Wembley game. But I think next season should be Ipswich for me.
Yeah, and how has the change been? Obviously, Ipswich, a good friend of mine, Phil Whelan, played many years ago when they were in the Premier League, and I know the setup at Ipswich. But how does it compare to leaving a league club and joining a club like Bromley? How have you found it, and how have you adapted to the sort of like the trials and tribulations of non-league football?
It was a bit different, but I don't think there's a massive difference in the way it's run. It's still very professional. Everyone gets it all every training session, and it's still as competitive. So I don't think it was really that much of a big stepping stone, to be fair, but I found it a bit different, yeah.
And quality-wise, do you think there's a big gulf, or do you think actually, from what you've seen, that the quality is there? It's just obviously playing full-time football opposed to playing part-time football. Is the fitness and training every day is the major difference?
Yeah, definitely. I've been quite surprised, actually. The quality is actually very good in the National League. There's very good players in this league. But I think, like you said, it might be consistency or the fitness every day, and that would definitely help.
Well, as I said, my last question, I suppose, then is, if you do stay perhaps at Bromley for another 6 months or so, let's say, you have that Wembley under your belt, you could end up getting a cap for England C as well. So you could actually have an international cap and play at Wembley in the same, you know, while you're at Bromley.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This spell's literally doing me the world of good, isn't it? Could end up with an international cap and playing at Wembley. But I guess just have to see what happens, take every game as it comes, and just hopefully for the best.
I think there's a couple of things for me is one, it will absolutely make you a better player. I think you'll go back to Ipswich stronger. You play, there's nothing like playing first team football. I think that will absolutely help you, Luke. You know, how long's left on your contract at Ipswich?
Till the end of 2019, with an option at the end of that contract.
Yeah, so I think this will benefit you no end. And you know, the only one I was going to drop in, I was just thinking as we were on the line, the fact that Mick McCarthy's left Ipswich. Don't be surprised if someone like the Cowley brothers get the Ipswich job, you know, because they've committed non-league. They're now at Lincoln doing really well. Be interesting to see what if they would be on the shortlist. I know you can't comment on it, Luke. I'm just talking to the guys. It's something we'll talk about after you go off. But go. So you're going to go and play at Wembley. You know, you've been at the top end of the National, playing in big football matches. When you get back to your own parent club, what's your ambitions next season then?
Definitely get a starting 11 place in the first team.
Yeah.
I think this lowest bowl will definitely help me do that, as opposed to just staying out and switching playing 23s.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I've, every player I've I've sort of had in my time in non-league from a professional club has always said to me, it benefited them no end. We've spoke about it on our show many times, Luke, but that goes without question. But good luck with it, son. Anyway.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Thanks for your time, Luke, and best of luck for the rest of the season. Well, we look forward to seeing you in the non-league finals day in the FA Trophy.
All right, cheers.
Thanks
for the time.
Lot.
See you in a bit.
Cheers. Chaps, another young defender who's gonna benefit from playing at a very decent level at non-league.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, he sounds relaxed enough about it, doesn't he?
I was saying he's a young lad, isn't he? He's had the opportunity at Ipswich, and we know the way Ipswich play football. We know the sort of like the academy side of things and the way they've run the football club over many years. And to go to Bromley under a manager who's done tremendously well this season,
yeah.
And he's been in a winning mentality team as well. I think they might just fall short in the playoffs, but a trip to Wembley after that great semi final. That we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago now is excellent. It can only enhance, can't it? It can only provide additional experience for a young 19-year-old.
Sure. I think he's gone back to Ipswich. He's probably one of maybe only two or three players who will have played at Wembley. I don't know the Ipswich squad off the top of my head, but not everybody gets to do that, you know. So good luck to him. And it is, like we've always said it. It benefits every young professional to go into non-league and play first-team football with men.
And also, I suppose, Dave, I mean, he's got the added bonus, hasn't he, of going back to a club that will have a new manager. And you mentioned yeah. there the Cowley brothers. Goodness me, if they get the job there, he's going to be a lucky lad because they know the non-league game. They were blooded on it. They've done tremendously well. And if the likes of those come in there, he's going to only, Wolfenden's only going to benefit from their kind of expertise. But even if it's not them, he comes in with a clean slate. The manager won't necessarily know a great deal about him. And he can prove that he wants to be a first team player and hopefully get into that team week in, week out. So he's got everything to look forward to, hasn't he?
Yeah. Listen, I only came up with the Cowleys as we were sitting, sort of doing the interview. I was just thinking about who could get the Ipswich job. And they came to mind because, you know, the success they've had now, it's getting stupid, the success they've had at Lincoln. And I sort of think Chelmsford, sort of they come from Chelmsford. It's not a million miles. It's that side of the country. It's not long from far from Chelmsford to Ipswich, you know. But listen, that's only me sort of thinking out loud, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, we've waxed lyrical about the brothers, haven't we? They've been absolutely tremendous for the semi-professional game and now the leagues that they're actually enhancing, and the quality of football they're playing is something that whoever plays for them are going to really benefit from.
Okay, chaps, now I said it was a good news show, and we continue with our final guest. We've mentioned many a game where brothers have lined up on the same side, even games where brothers have both scored, but I can't recall a game where brothers have lined up on opposing sides and then both made the score sheet. It happened last weekend as AFC Telford United went down 2-1 at home to Chorley in the National North. Joining us on the line is scorer of Telford's only goal, Elliot Newby. Good evening, Elliot.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. A late consolation from you from the spot after your brother Alex had put Chorley ahead. But were you always a designated penalty taker, or were you pushed forward for that little bit of history?
No, I don't normally take pens, to be honest. Marcus Denanga normally takes pens. He just come off though, so I just felt confident myself to take it. So I just ran over, grabbed the ball, and obviously my brother had already scored, so I sort of wanted to get a goal as well. That was part of it. But obviously, it just felt confident to get us back in the game, so I took it myself.
A man that steps forward in a moment of need. I like it. And you know, I'd say Alex, your brother, he's your twin brother as well, isn't he? What's it like even running out on opposing sides?
It's very strange, to be honest. Yeah, we've never played against each other before, so it was an odd experience, to be honest. Like, we've played with each other a lot of different occasions. For different teams, but this first time I've sort of played against him in a proper game, which was very strange. Yeah.
And I mean, as twins, you know, I've got twins myself. So, do you have any telepathy? I was wondering if Alex may have tried to tip off his own goalkeeper. Which way you'd shoot?
He actually did say to me, he'd just come off, but he was on the bench. But he sort of said where it was going, and the keeper guessed the right way. Luckily, he just had enough power on it, so whether he could read my mind or not, I don't know. But he seemed to guess the right way as well.
Were your parents watching the match as well? It must have been quite hard for them to watch a game with the two of you on opposing sides.
Yeah, it was their first game coming down to Telford, because me and my brother were from Barrow up north, so they haven't been down to watch many games. They haven't been down to Telford, so it was the first time coming down watching me at home, and obviously they weren't going to miss a game like this, so it was the first time coming down. They were obviously very proud, you know, no matter what the result was in the end, they were sort of just proud to see us both on the same pictures, which is quite a rare occurrence, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and obviously not a great result for your club, you know, in drop zone on goal difference with six to play. What's the mood like in the camp now?
The mood's positive. We've got to be positive. There's no other way to go about it. Obviously, things have gone against us at different points in the season, but in terms of looking at the games we've got left, we've obviously got a few games in hand, which is a big positive for us, really. So, looking at it, it's in our hands. We know we're good enough to win the games that we need to stay up. So, it's just a case of just focusing on ourselves and just trying to do our job, which we know we can.
Yeah, not easy games, though, are they? I think before this show goes out, Thursday night you've got Leamington, and then you've got playoff chase in Stockport and Blyth. Gainsborough, they may still be battling for survival as well, and then more playoff chases in Spennymoor before maybe a nice simple one on the final day at Boston. You know, if you're going to do it, then I suppose you know to prove it that you're a decent side and decent enough to stay up, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, of course, that's how it is from the start of the season. You know, you've got to beat teams around, you've got to beat teams above you. We've done both this season. We have beat teams that have been above us, got good results at home and away against good teams this season, so there's no reason we can't do it. We beat Spennymoor last week, so there's no reason why we can't beat them again. And obviously we've got two home games left, I think, as well, so I think we can look to win both of them, and then, you know, hopefully we'll be okay.
Swampy, question.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because I've, as an FC United supporter and commentator, I've seen both yourself and your brother play, it's always nice to hear from players. A couple of questions I've got from you for you, really, is obviously you're a Barrow lad. I mean, Telford, are you living in the Telford area, or are you doing a lot of travelling? Because obviously your brother played at Chorley. It's not as far, but it's still a distance. So yeah. What kind of distance do you have to travel for training then?
Well, at the moment, it's lucky because we've since the new manager came at the start of the season, I've only joined this year, but since the new manager, Rob Edwards, came and he changed our training, so we now train Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday, so I just tend to stay down during the week. The club provides some accommodation because there's a few of the lads in a similar situation to me, so I tend to stay down during the week, and if we've got a game back up north, I might go home and then travel directly there, but it's just a case of I'll normally just stay down and then go home after the game at the weekend.
Yeah. Ah. Right. Okay. Well, that gives it's good to get an insight of a young footballer. And I mean, we were just talking there, Tim. We're talking about the teams that you've got to play against. I suppose for you, the big game is getting that result against Leamington, who are in and around the that relegation area at this moment in time. But as a football club, I mean, you know, you've put us to the sword probably more times in the last two or three seasons than I could care to mention. Again, equally this season, but you do play a good way of playing. It's a very different style, I suppose, to Chorley. So when you played Chorley, was there any incentive for you as an individual and your brother to who could have the best personal performance? Obviously, the results didn't go your way, but do you have that rivalry when, you know, performance? And do you want to put a challenge in on him as well? Do you want to give him a good kick when you're playing against him?
I'm not going to lie. If he scored, I like to give him a kick. But when you're out on the pitch, you sort of just, it was difficult because it's the first time it's happened, but just try and sort of concentrate on yourself. And trying out the other team, if I sort of worried too much about him, then it'd probably end up affecting me and vice versa. He'd probably told you the same. who's playing against me. So yeah, just in case of just, you know, just focus on yourself and try to think too much about what he's doing and try and win the game ourselves.
Yeah, do you talk to each other a lot? Because obviously Chorley are just off that playoff position, and we know that at the moment Blyth are having an absolute terrible time that you've got to play as well. I think they've lost 7 or 8 on the bounce, and they've been in the playoffs all through the season. So Chorley could sneak in there, and obviously where you are at this moment in time, you've been in that position for quite a long time now, and it's just very difficult to get out of it. We've just managed to do that, and I think we're going to be safe now with about 51 points. So do you discuss sort of like promotion and relegation as twin brothers? And, you know, the experience that your brothers got, does that help you and vice versa?
Yeah, there's been a lot of banter, like, between me and him, just, like, since he's come to Chorley. But just, yeah, we will speak about sort of general, you know, football. I have a chat with him, you know, he'll sort of, and I'll be asking how his games have gone, and he'll sort of be able to tell me if we've got a team coming up that will play, and that, you know, what they play like or what he thinks are like and stuff like that. So it is sort of, it's interesting. It's helpful to have somebody that's in the same position as you and, like, going through the same things that you are. So we always talk about football, and, like, we've got a good relationship with each other. So, of course, I want him to do the best he can as well, just obviously not against us. So.
Right, right. And finally, it's a question that I've got to ask you, is, and I've seen both of you this season, I've got my own opinion, but I won't give that on air, but who's the best player?
Me.
Fair enough.
And one quick one from me. Is it 7 you scored now this season from out on the wing?
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent return. Would you prefer to play a bit further forward or in the middle? Or is using your pace a bit more of your game? You know, you're more a winger than a natural goal scorer.
Yeah, I've always been a winger, to be honest. That's where I'm comfortable. I've played sort of as a behind the striker, spotting the striker, or up top a couple of times in the past, but I'm definitely more comfortable there. You know, I'm happy setting goals up as well as scoring them, so it's a case I've always played out wide, and that's sort of where I'm most comfortable. But obviously, if I can get as many goals as I can from that position, it's, you know, it's good for me, and it's obviously, most importantly, it's good for the team as well. If I can hopefully chip in with a few more, maybe get to double figures this season, you know, I'll be really happy with that myself.
Well, we wish you well with it all, and it's been great talking to you, and it's been great talking to another record breaker. There may have been twin brothers scoring on opposition sides elsewhere,
yes.
And if there are, then please get in touch via Twitter at Non-League Show. But, Elliot, it's been great talking to you, and wish you well for the rest
of
the season.
Yeah, good
Thank
luck.
You. Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
I'll tell you what, Dave.
Yeah.
And Timmy, I like wingers. I like players that, you know, in the Steve Coppell mode. I know that you've got a big affiliation with Manchester United as I do.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, he's a good player. He really is a good player. He gets the ball and he does things. And he's direct. He's got good trickery. He's got good feet. He's the kind of player that, you know, I'd like to see at my club. But it's interesting to know that you look at this division that we're playing in at the moment and the division that he's in. I think 8 of the teams in and around the top are all full time. We've just found out that Telford are doing Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that,
something like
Nyon,
that, yeah.
Nyon doing full time, and it's just,
well, that is full time, isn't it? That is full time, because you'd have a day off during the week.
Yeah,
and most pro sides do.
And it just goes to prove, doesn't it? National League North. We know the whole of the National League primarily is full time. I mean, how far is it going to filter down? Because, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to be, you know, Dave, you're going to become a full-time manager.
listen,
it's difficult enough to get him on this show.
Listen, let me tell you, every manager in non-league football is full-time. Believe me, they just don't get paid full-time. But it's absolutely 24/7.
In the last 2 weeks, Mr. Anderson's been more difficult to get hold of than I have.
you're exaggerating, item, you know. But I do think, listen, I think as long as the clubs can sustain it financially, it's brilliant. It gives another people living their dream, professional football. That's what we all want to do as kids. My gripe gets with when teams do it and they stretch the resources and put the whole status of the club in jeopardy. That's when we're all nervous of it. But I'd say to that, wow, the more the merrier, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Telford, we know they've had trials and tribulations, and I mean, it's a great ground. Our next league club, like Boston and Darlington, are all in this division now. Kidderminster, Harriers, the same. And as you rightly say, if it can be done sustainably, I can understand it. The problem is, obviously, if clubs won that sort of like golden ticket to get to the next level and enter the promised land of the Football League. But I think the only difference between the Football League and the National League, and even to a point the National League North and South, is money, is players' wages. Yeah. Although saying that, yeah, some teams in our division I know are paying bigger wages for individuals than League One clubs can actually afford at this moment in time. And that's where it gets a little bit difficult. But what's also interesting, I don't know if you've seen this today, but the amount of money spent in semi-pro football on agents' fees between February of last year and January of this year, and all the clubs that have actually had to pay agents, which is really interesting because there's...
Was that true, Swampy? I was told that was an April Fool.
No, I don't... unless it's 14 days late.
Can you believe it?
Well, I mean, you know, we're not talking huge amounts of money, are we? We're talking, you know, I think the biggest club that's agents' fees is about 36,000, and it's from an ex-league club. So I think it's quite plausible. I mean, I know a lot of players have it. I mean, you know, FC United, we've got four or five players that have an agent, and if they go, there'll be an agent's fee involved. So
my argument with that all along is, let the player pay the agent. He's his agent.
That's a good point.
It's when the clubs pay money. It's money that's going out of football. It's never coming back in. So I'm not a great lover of them, as you know. I understand that players want to have them, but you pay them in. That's like me saying, you to the bar to get the... Well, I've done that a few times, but you know... But you know what I mean? You know, like... We're going to start a whole new row here, and we ain't got time.
I think you are right, though. I mean, to be honest, I don't believe that agents are needed in our level to a certain degree, because it just fills kids' heads full of magic most of the time, and tells them they're better than they are, and they don't be on a downward spiral. And you know, there's not a great deal of benefit for me in them personally, but they are here to stay, unfortunately. But
yep.
We've got to sort it out somehow. Maybe a cap on how much they can actually earn.
Good shout.
Or maybe we should have a cap on the number of minutes that this podcast takes as well. We've run out of time again. That's it for this week. Thanks, Dave.
Pleasure, Tim.
Thank you, Swampy.
Thank you. My cold seems to... I think the more I talk, the better my cold feels. So, I mean, if you've got another hour, I'll be cured a little later on.
It's been a long day already, mate. I'm not sure I could last another hour. thank you to all our guests, and of course for everybody that listens. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put our podcast on your website via the embeddable player at www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. Thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA.